Okay, today we'll be doing the loyalty test. Okay, we've done a few tests before. We talk about the reality test and the test of obedience. Today we're going to be talking about the loyalty test. Okay, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Okay, we'll try to finish it. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 27, we'll be reading that because it's quite long. We'll just remain seated when you read. But I'll read verse 15, you read verse 16, all the way up to we read verse 27. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. Verse 17, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Verse 18. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Verse 20. Verse 21, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Verse 22. Verse 23, "Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." Verse 24. "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Verse 27, let's read together as the last. Ready? "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask tonight as we open your precious word once again, that Lord, even as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians and the people during that time, we ask tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will apply those words that was written 2,000 years ago and apply directly to our hearts, Lord, where we need it the most. Oh Lord, we pray as we live in these last days, help us, Father, to have a clear vision from your precious word of what is right and wrong, and help us to stick with the right, Lord, that we might be loyal to you. Lord, thank you, Lord. You were faithful to us. You were loyal to us, Lord. At salvation, you, at the cross of Calvary, you could have come down, but you did not because you loved us so much. And Father, you demonstrated your faithfulness, Lord, toward a lost world, that you would do all you can to save us. And Father, you were faithful to your call and help us tonight to see your precious word, the three tests of loyalty to Christ, that God, we might pass every one of them. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that for those who are still on the way, bring them quickly, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're coming to the fourth test, and we're going to be talking about loyalty. But what's the meaning of loyalty as we begin? Before we actually go into it, it's always good to have a definition. What is loyalty? What does it mean to be loyal? What's the meaning of loyalty, anyone? What does it mean to be loyal to someone? It means... loyalty means one who is faithful to the Lord Jesus and His words. Okay, one who is faithful to the Lord Jesus and His word. Faithful means full of trust. Okay, a person who is loyal, who the simple meaning in Webster's 1828, talking about a man who is faithful to, especially a sovereign, someone who is sovereign. But you know what's a loyalist? Someone who actually sticks by this person. A loyalist is a person who adheres to his sovereign, someone whom he submits to. Okay, as Christians, we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is God and He loves us. So a loyalist is someone who adheres to his sovereign, particularly one who maintains his allegiance to his prince and defends his cause in times of revolt or revolution. These are the people who are maybe the common soldiers. But when the sovereign is in trouble or there's some revolt, they will stand by and fight the cause of their sovereign, of their king. Okay, that's a loyalist, someone who remains loyal to a prince or a sovereign. Okay, now, let's turn to the book of Titus, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's give a little bit of background, especially with the day and age in which we live and how this lesson is actually important for us as believers. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, I'll just read, and then you probably get a sense of why loyalty is so important today. Loyalty is something that today especially, unlike previous years, talking about maybe decades ago, well, by being loyal to a friend, loyal to the church, loyal to a cause is something that people stand for. But today, people are just kind of picking and choosing and they're kind of looking back and say, which actually benefits me the most before I actually put my investment in, okay? We need the kind of wisdom, but you know, when it comes to believing in something, especially in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He stands for, we need to be loyal to Christ, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come. Perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Paul tells Timothy that in the last days there will be a group of people who are called lovers of their own selves. In other words, their priority is number one. I'll be doing a Chinese message on Sunday. Apparently, that theme comes out again, and that many people go into contentious fights in the book of James chapter 4, and the reason is because of their own lusts, what they personally want. In fact, the Chinese word actually goes as far as to say that they will chase something that they will not want to give up, that thing, because it's personal. It's personal lust, what I personally want, okay? So it comes to a time in this world, in this time, especially in this time and age, day and age, that many people, loyalty is not something they can really look for. I'm preparing a message for Sunday. I was just looking at the Navy SEALs, okay, of the U.S., the Navy SEALs, not just the SEAL, those people who are involved in fighting terrorists and basically the group that took out Osama bin Laden. Those are the Navy SEALs and the type of training they go through. And I'll be reading some excerpts from there. And it's amazing what they had to go through to be a Navy SEAL. And I think they, you know, what's the motto of the Navy SEALs? Always faithful. I think in the Latin it's Semperis Fidelis. Always faithful. In other words, they are always, nothing is supposed to break them, okay? And apparently there was this guy who wrote, he said, I'm doing push-ups and all that kind of thing and getting myself physically fit, you know? But what are the actual requirements to be a Navy SEAL? And so another guy wrote back and say, if you don't even have the initiative to go and find out yourself on Google, you don't make the cut already. Okay, you cannot be a Navy SEAL. So that was quite funny. But apparently 75% of people who join the Navy SEALs drop out. That's how tough. It's a 2-year training course. But the SEALs, the army people are in this group of soldiers are trained to be loyal to their buddies. In other words, no matter how hard it is, they will stick to the fight for their buddies. And one of the things they learn is teamwork, and they are supposed to be loyal to their group as they go into fight. Okay? The Bible here in 1 John, just a background for you, but 1 John actually tells us 3 indicators to show whether or not we are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and there's something important. I want us to take note of the 3 points. Okay, just very simply, very easily. Number one, there are 3 indicators which show whether or not we are loyal to Christ. Number one, the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that we do not love this world. An indicator of a Christian who is loyal to Christ is that he will not love this world. Okay? The Bible says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world here doesn't refer to the physical universe. All right, this world was created by God, and it's a thing of beauty. We thank God for that. Okay, it's a thing of beauty. But this world is not to be worshipped. Okay, and yet this world that we can see, the physical world, is an indication of the goodness of God we serve, and its beauty draws us to Him. All right, so the word world comes from the Greek word cosmos. All right, and it means order, behavior, fashion, government. Basically, God says, don't love the fashion, don't love the order, the behavior, the government, and the system of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's turn to a few verses when we talk about the world, okay? And see what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has to say about the world. Maybe we'll have, if Jairo, if you can turn to Matthew 16:26. Lydia, you can turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And then we'll all turn to James 4:4, okay? The world. Matthew 16, verse 26. If you would look at the trend of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, He's always comparing the things of this world and the soul. Okay? And He's always saying that the soul is much more infinite in value compared to what you can even achieve in this world. Because in Matthew 16:26, He says, what is a man profiteous? What profit, what gain do you get if you actually gain the whole world? Can you imagine gaining the whole world? That means everything you ever want in this world belongs to you. But Jesus said, even if you would have gained this whole world and lose your own soul, what profit do you have? Do you know what is the equation that Jesus is saying? There's nothing in this world as valuable, as invaluable as a human soul. There's nothing more valuable than a human soul. You know, there's some souls here. Okay, we're all souls. Okay, like it or not, we're all souls. You realize that every one of them, from Wei Qi to Joseph, to Agnes and to Song Ling, and to everyone that is seated here, every single one of you is worth infinitely more individually compared to anything in this world that you can ever dream of. And we know the value because God is the one who puts that value. The little one that Sister Kim is carrying now is infinitely worth more than everything that she can ever hope for. That's the preciousness of the human soul, okay? Compared to this world. So the temporary things of this world is nothing to be compared to the eternal soul. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay. Paul tells the Christians, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't, in other words, whatever the world throws at you, whatever mold the world wants you to have, whatever type of speech, whatever type of behavior, whatever type of fashion, whatever type of way the world wants us to do things, God says, don't allow this world to mold us. Basically, be not conformed to this world. Okay, it is God's will that anything that smacks of conformity to this world, we are to stay away from. You know, there's many, many Christians today, many churches today, who like to borrow ways from the world. Does that make sense? Like to borrow the way the world thinks, the way the world does things. Some of it we can learn, obviously, but you know, when it comes to the morality stuff, when it comes to things which are a little bit gray, you know, the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. God says, don't allow yourself to be conformed to this world. And that should give us a little indication from God of what He thinks of this world. Do you realize one thing? The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5, the last verse. This whole world lieth in wickedness. The systems of this world has nothing to contribute to the spiritual growth of a Christian. Agree? The system of this world has nothing to contribute to the spiritual growth of a Christian. And so if we yearn for things of this world, God actually says, don't allow yourself to be conformed to this world. Parents, the things that are in your house, okay, don't, even if it's a decorative piece. Last time, there's this alcohol, the wine, they usually have, for decoration purposes, they have these giant wine bottles, okay, like Japanese wine or whatever. It's just plastic, okay? And if it's a decorative piece in your home, you know, as a believer, you may not think much of it. But if a non-believer comes in, he may not say much, but he say, hey, how come you've also a decorative piece in there? You know what? You have lost your testimony even before you know it. Well, it's just a decorative piece. But I've learned firsthand that sometimes, even though you don't mean it, people have already judged you. So you need to be very careful. Okay? Don't be conformed to the things of this world. God says so. And therefore, we have to follow Him. Whatever the specs of this world, and I'm not saying, I think we need, as Christians, to have a bit of wisdom. But you know what? If our heart actually yearns for music, for the things of this world to satisfy us, and after a while, even the way we think and dress and do things, that it smacks of this world, you know, we need to be very careful. God says, don't be conformed. Don't allow the influences of this world to influence us. That the way we think will be, why can't, you know, this popular question, why can't, what's wrong with doing that? You know, let's change the question, what's right with doing that? Will the Lord be pleased? Okay, that's important, because when we love the world, it's an indication that we may not be as loyal to Christ as we should be. Okay, the next one, Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Okay, the Bible says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. All lusts are of three areas. Okay, all lusts in this world are of three areas. The word lust has to do with wanting something that God didn't want us to have. Okay? It comes from three areas. Number one, it comes from self. Number two, it comes from this world. Number three, it comes from Satan itself. Worldly lusts. Okay? God says we are to deny worldly lusts. That even though I feel like it, I don't want it. When I was doing a little bit of reading of the Navy SEALs, one of the things they said is 90% mental, 10% physical. Okay, the Navy SEALs training. And one of the things they have, I think even in Singapore, they have this thing called Hell Week, whereby these guys are going to go through literal hell, whereby I've learned that, I was reading through, it's interesting, they have to go through 132 hours with only 3 to 4 hours sleep. Okay? And they are supposed to go through that under the most extreme conditions. They are always constantly wet. They're constantly muddy. They have to do things like swim underwater 350 feet with their hands bound for 2 minutes. Okay? And they'll go through extreme circumstances to train them. You don't listen to your body. You concentrate on your task. Basically, the goal of the Navy SEALs trainers, they are there, is to teach these soldiers who are, by the way, the Navy SEALs are silently picked. There's no recruitment. They handpick them. Okay? And these guys have to go through the training to train them. You are not tired. Even though their body is screaming at them, rest, rest. They say, no! No! And they are trained to tell themselves, no, I'm not tired. No, I'm not sleepy. And you know what? They have the benefit of helping one another. Hey, come, come. No, we need to press on. And the whole goal of the Navy SEALs training, of course, they have a lot of skills and all that, but you know, they're trained to say no to the flesh. And this lady, I'll repeat again, but it's just so exciting. They say, you know how they got, I was reading Osama bin Laden. They said they built a replica of the place. Said when they first trained, they didn't know, but no, by the end of the training, they knew every window. They know where every window is. They know where the doors are. They know how wide the doors are. By the end, even when they were kept, no one actually saw the body because they actually took the body away, all right, into a waiting helicopter. You know, by the time they took the body to the waiting helicopter, they can even count. They even know the number of steps from the house to the helicopter. That was how well trained they were as Navy SEALs. You know, their type of training, their one number one goal, Navy's training, is to say no to the flesh. Mentally, you may be tired, it may be painful, you may be wet, you may be soaking wet, no matter how tired you are, no matter how distressed you are, you say no. There's a mission to accomplish. Okay? Denying worldly lusts. Now, when I read that and compared it with the Christian life, you know that's what Jesus taught us? Of course, not as bad, but I'll say worse, because we're fighting against our flesh. Because Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, people in the Navy SEALs, they deny to fulfill a mission. And once a mission is finished, they can rest. For us, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week, constant denial of the flesh in order to be what God wants us to be. God says denying worldly lusts so that we can live soberly righteous and godly in this present world. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that friendship of the world is enmity with God." You know, when James said this, he's just giving a straight blow to those Jewish Christians. Guys, if you want to be friends with the world, let me tell you, you are an enemy of God. You know, when James told that to the... How do you think they took it? What do you mean I'm an adulterer? Actually, the concept of spiritual adultery should be very strong with a Jewish believer. Because in the Old Testament, oftentimes the Jews are oftentimes said to have spiritual adultery when they leave Yahweh, Jehovah, to worship the Baal gods. It's spiritual adultery. So when James actually told them straight, you are adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that once you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God? Well, that's serious business. But you know what? James goes a bit further. He says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. In other words, you don't have to actually be outwardly a friend of the world. Even if you have a desire to be a friend of the world, just that desire alone, God says, you're an enemy of God. You know what it means? I had this illustration from a preacher in Australia when he was preaching on this. He said, you know, many times, not my kids, but those kids in those Christian families in Australia will say things like this. You know what? I don't listen to rock music, but you know what? If my parents allow me, I will. I don't watch the kind of movies, but you know what? I mean, if I have a chance, I will. You know what that is? That's exactly what James is saying. Whosoever therefore will, even if you have a desire for, we actually become an enemy of the world, or enemy of God. That's serious stuff. If you look at the trend of how the apostles taught the Christians in the first century, the Christians in the first century church were taught to hate the things of this world. Totally hate and to stay away from. And if you look at the Bible carefully in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, we are to continue in the apostles' doctrines. And therefore, for us to love and be loyal to Christ, we need to not love this world. We live in churches today, in Christianity today, that the world has such a big influence on every Christian and the way they think and the lifestyle they have, that it is very important for us to remember that friendship with this world is enemy of God. The question I'd like to ask based on this is an individual more familiar with the things of this world than spiritual things? And I say this, one of the heartaches for me as pastor is when we mention a book of the Bible or a story of the Bible and the Christians doesn't know. But when you mention rock music, you mean that the singer. You know, it breaks my heart. that a Christian would know more of the things of this world than the things of the Holy Scriptures, than the things of what God loves. When we are in that category, you know what that is? We have been friends with the world. We are very familiar with the world. And it could be sometimes that we hear preaching of God's word. It doesn't really sink in. You know why? We've been so much in the world that we become numb to spiritual things. We need to be very careful. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You know, in the last verse above, it's interesting to note when a believer loves the world, it makes him equivalent to an adulterer and adulteress. You know why? You know why James made the comparison? Because when you love the world more, you have forsaken the love of Christ and the love for Christ. Does that make sense? If in our lives we our indication that we know more about the world than about the Bible than about Christ, we have forsaken Christ. Oh, Christians, don't let that happen to you. Parents, be very clear. There are certain things, it's a no-no. Sometimes, as young teenagers, they say, no, I won. You know, I have learned that I'd rather that my children hate me for a short period of time than to live for the world next time. But parents, don't get angry, but what I usually do is just to share with them, I think you know what is the right decision. I leave that to you, but this is what the Bible says. And you know, usually I find that, thank God, our children will say, Baba, I'm sorry. And will be willing to just come under the authority, and I will hug them and say, thank God you made the right decision. Now, sometimes it's hard, isn't it, parents? Sometimes our young teenage children want this and they want that. And when God said no, say, God says this, you know. Say, but, no, God says, but. You try to rationalize things. Can I say this? The moment we start rationalizing our parents, listen carefully, children, the moment we start giving reasons why we shouldn't listen to our parents, we are loving the world more than we're loving the authority of our parents. The moment we rationalize, we've already gone down that track of wanting our own personal will over our parents' will. Okay? So you need to be very careful. Right? And so, the first principle that God says here, in first indicator to show whether or not we are loyal to Christ, is number one, we do not love this world. Okay? So, a person who is loyal to Jesus will not love this world. You can't. Let's turn to John chapter 17. I'll show you something. To me, I learned it many years ago. But you know, the Lord Jesus taught a very important principle of sanctification. John 17. In verse 18. John 17, verse 18, in the high priestly prayer of Christ, this is what Jesus said. John 17, verse, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. What did Jesus say? Jesus, as God, is already sanctified. He's already set apart, right? He's a holy God. But you know what? When Jesus came into this world, for our sakes and for our example, he set himself apart even more. Practically, so that as Christians, we understand what it means. Jesus was always with the prostitutes to preach to them, to share with them, but he was never influenced by them. Amen? His influence was so strong that, you know what, the world get influenced by him. He doesn't get influenced by the world. Some people say, no, Brother Johnny, but he's God, obviously. This is, can I just say this? When we use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example, please understand this. Jesus is 100% God. But you know what? Jesus is also 100% man. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. And let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Okay, Hebrews 5 verse 8. This is very important. Some people, you know, out of desperation, when I share with them that, no, you need to live by the Bible, Jesus lived. Jesus is God. Obviously, he can do that. No. Please understand this, no. You know, if I'm supposed to imitate God, I'm gone. How are we supposed to imitate God? But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ set aside His divinity, as in His miracles. He's still able to do miracles, but what He did, He set aside His ability. He limited Himself to the human flesh. You know, Jesus Christ can say, okay, I want to be in Samaria. He could just be there. But you know what? He limited Himself to the human flesh. In other words, He walked to Samaria just like you and I were. He was hungry just like you and I were. In other words, He was living in the flesh, so-called. But look at Hebrews 5 in verse 8. The Bible says, though He were a son, though He was the Son of God, you know what? Children, even Jesus had to learn obedience. That's what the Bible says, right? Let's look at the children. You read the verse, can you? In Romans, Hebrews 5 verse 8. Okay, children, ready? 1, 2, go. Though Jesus was the Son of God, yet He had to learn obedience through the things which He go through. Ah, mommy, I don't want to eat this. It's real suffering. God says, learn there. Jesus learned to suffer through obedience. Okay, in other words, He learned obedience through the suffering He went through. But you know what? Can I say this? Hopefully from now on, no one will ever give the reason. You know what? I cannot be like Christ. Because He's God. No, the Bible says, Jesus became a man to show us how to overcome the flesh. To be our example. Okay? A person who is loyal to the Lord Jesus will not love this world. I have this little thing there, this little chart there. I'd like you to take for yourself, at which point are you at? Number one, all of self and none of God. Some of self and some of God. Less of self and more of God. None of self and all of God. And perhaps you could actually tick for yourself. You don't have to show to anyone. At which part are you at? At which part are you at? And then perhaps 1 year later you come back and say, Lord, have I moved? Say, God, I am more of God now than I was 6 months ago. I'm more of denying the flesh now. Lord, last time I used not to want to do this, but God, I have a greater love for this. Lord, help me to love You more. Okay? Christians, where do you stand in your loyalty to Christ? Where do you stand when there's a choice between serving God and doing the things of this world? What would you choose? What would you choose? Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you have a choice to do what God wants you to do versus do what you want to do, what would you choose? And it is a sad thing that modern day Christianity, many Christians will say, well, I just do what comes naturally. That would be the flesh. Christians, do all to God's glory. Speak for God's glory. Do things for God's glory. Spend money for God's glory. Make friends that will honor Christ. You know, children, you may have friends who will teach you things. And if you know it's wrong, say, well, the person wants me to steal. Say, sorry, I'll be your friend, but you know what? I can't do that. Be willing to do the right thing. Make a choice for Christ. Parents, encourage your children to make a choice for what is right. Yes, it is unpleasant. Yes, you may lose some friends, but a friend who doesn't respect you for the decisions you make is not a friend after all. Amen? Okay, that if I'm a Christian, I make this decision and you leave me. And by the way, they will, because you know what? You, through your life, is convicting them of sin, okay? So, but are you willing to stand for Christ? Will you be loyal to Christ? Any questions? So where's your loyalty? You know, as Christians, we need to be loyal to Christ today. Because many Christians will compromise at the workplace, in school, just to get a promotion, I had a friend, I shared this before, I shared it again, I will never forget, she was one of our kind of a youth leader, she unofficial, she just trying to encourage the young people, the teenagers. In 1984, there was a recession time. And I know she was about 25, 26, 27. She's not particularly good looking, but you know what? She had such a love for Christ. You know, after 3 or 4 months, she managed to get a job, but there was one thing. She had to work on Sundays. You know, next thing I knew, she says, well, I turned down that job. As an impressionable 15-year-old. Young adults, are you listening? As an impressionable 15 or 16-year-old, looking at my unofficial youth leader, making a choice for Christ, oh, I remember these things that it affects my heart for the rest of my life. God used her. I don't even know where she is now. But her one act of just being obedient to Christ, I need to be in church on Sunday. I cannot work. If I work, yeah, I may not have much, but you know, I'll trust God. But you know, that really impressed my heart. Now, parents, will you make that decision for Christ? That say, I know if I were to put my child in this spiritual activity, my child will lose out in this world. But you think about the logic. Isn't it clear? If Jesus says, if you gain the whole world, lose so and so, isn't it easy to make a decision to follow? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Christians, my challenge is you be loyal to Christ. But the first indicator is, are we loyal? Loyalty to Christ means we will not love the world, number one. Number two, in 1 John 2:18 and 19, he goes on to say, I didn't go through a lot of the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. John did go into detail talking about don't only love, we're not just to love the systems, not to love the system of this world. We are not, listen, we are also not to love the things in this world. That's what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things in this world. Joanna was doing her literature, just to share, and you know, it was such a blessing for me. She said she read, I think they were about to build a church building, okay? And George Mueller said this, true beauty is beauty that will not take away attention from God. True beauty is beauty that will not take away attention from God. And the context of that phrase was when they were trying to build a church for God. In ours, some people may be trying to decorate it and very nice and all that. You know what George Mueller said? No, we need a simple one. That when a person comes to worship, the primary focus is God. Oh, what a blessing that was. I mean, just a simple phrase, a simple thing. You know what? We need to have that kind of heart. Do you realize in the book of Exodus, let me show you a verse which to me was, let's turn to Exodus 20. This was the same principle in which when God commanded Moses to build an altar to God, that was what he says. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 25, in verse 24 and 25. Let's read it together, okay, and see what God has to say. Okay? Exodus 20, verse 24, 25. Let's read it. Ready? 1, 2, begin. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee. And I will bless thee. Verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. You know what that principle is? God says, I'm going to ask you to build an altar to me. Okay? And when you build that altar to me, God gave specific instruction. I do not want any creative carving on the stone. I just want you to take whatever stone you have and put it there. And thereon worship me. A principle of just simple sincerity to God. God, I'm giving you what I have. And if you try to impress God with a tool, that's what he says here. God says you projected it. That's why God is not interested in showmanship. God is not interested in showmanship. This verse it just blows my mind to know that even God was so particular even of how they build the altar. God says, don't decorate this. At least for this altar, don't decorate it. The moment you lift up your tool, you've polluted it. I'm not interested in that. You know, this is a symbol of God wanting our hearts. When we worship God in sacrifice, just give me your heart. Just come as you are. Okay? Oh, I can anyhow do things and serve God. I don't care. No, that's not what I mean. You know, even if when we come to God, we must do our best. Amen. But you know what? God is not interested in showmanship. You know what? Why? Because showmanship points to ourselves. Our worship should point always to God. Okay, number one, do not love this world. Number one. Number two, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. We'll move a bit faster. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. So don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love this world, John says, the love of God is not in him. That context, I just quickly tell you, literally means if you love this world, as in 1 John, the way they love the world, they do things of the world, it actually goes to show they're not Christians in the first place. Okay? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 19, the second indicator of whether we are loyal to Christ is we do not leave the church. Okay? In verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, the Bible did mention that there will be one Antichrist, someone who will rule this world, okay, in sin, and he will control the systems of this world. That is not what John was talking about. The word anti means against, okay? There will be many false prophets who will come and will teach things that will be against the Lord Jesus Christ, the false teachers, and will lead people astray. And if someone actually follows this so-called Antichrist, in verse 19, there will be a group of people who would leave the apostles' church, will literally leave. This is what he says in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they were had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. What does it mean to be of us? What does it mean to be of us? You know, one of the things in the spirit of our church covenant is that all of us are united by Ambassador Baptist Church covenant. A covenant is based on trust. That when we put ourselves as a member of Ambassador Baptist Church, I'm saying, whatever happens to Joshua, whatever happens to Uncle Roland, is my responsibility. And whatever happens to me is your responsibility. We are bound by that trust for one another. Sometimes we may not be able to do much, but we can pray for one another. In other words, anything happens to Brother Mike, Brother Uncle Robert, or whoever, is my responsibility, and vice versa. That's that trust. There's one spirit. And we base our trust on the Word of God, on what Jesus has done for us. Okay? In other words, my faith may be more, your faith may be more, but that doesn't matter because we are of one heart, one spirit in God's Word. And therefore, we also have the same love. But when John says, those people that are with them, they went out from them because they were not of them. In other words, not so much they didn't call themselves Christians, but they were from a different spirit. They were from a different teaching. And so they left. John is not talking about people who go from one church to another church. But John is talking about people who leave church altogether, who have no heart whatsoever to live for God. You know, as pastor, one of my saddest, one of the things is that we do have people who were in Ambassador that right now don't even want God at all. The only conclusion I have is I'm not too sure they're safe. Because the church, Jesus died for the church. And as a Christian, we need to love God's church because if Jesus is willing to die for the church, I think he put some priority on it. And as a Christian, we need to love what Jesus loved. Some people say, I don't care about what happens in church. I hope not. Because we need to have the desire of God in our hearts. And Jesus died for the church, and therefore it's important to him. The question we need to ask is, how important is the local assembly to us? You know, to be loyal to Christ is to be faithful to his church. That's the correlation there. Okay? Number three, the third one. Okay, firstly, loyalty to Christ means that we do not love this world. We do not leave the church. And number three, we do live in the truth. We do live in the truth. In verse 20, 1 John chapter 20, verse 21. 20 and 21. The Bible says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The word unction there has to do with an anointing, something that God gave to you. All of us as believers, God has already given us the Holy Spirit as an anointing to teach us the Word of God. Okay? And so, because God has given that to us, he says in verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it and that no lies of the truth. I can say that many times I find myself preaching to a group of people who already know what I'm going to say. Does that make sense? People who have been to FBI say, Brother Johnny, I've heard that before. But you know what? It's not so much the hearing of the word, but the obeying of the word that is important. Okay? So, question is, do we live in the truth of the word of God? That will prove our loyalty to Christ. Okay? If you look at verse 20, 21, the Bible says that I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And then he goes on to describe what's the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? There are many cults in this world that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as God. The Mormons, the JWs, etc., the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, etc. There are many people who call themselves spiritual gurus and all that kind of thing. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. God says he is Antichrist. Okay? But we know the truth. We do know the truth. Okay? So, two things we need. John is saying that only as we abide in the truth of God's word can we overcome this Antichrist. Okay? If you look at verse 24, let that, what's that? That Jesus Christ is God. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. The word of God that you have heard from young, some of you, like maybe Huichi or Joseph from young, or Esther Joy from young, they have heard the gospel, they have heard the Bible. Titus, Phoebe from young, your mommy and daddy had brought you to church, and I'm sure Brother Denzel and many of the teenagers here, you had the blessing of your mom and dad from young, bringing you up in the things of God. You know what John says? Let that therefore stay with you. Let it therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You know what he's saying? One of the indicators of genuine loyalty to Christ is that we stay with the faith. Now as angels, when you are 25 years old, you're serving God. And you love Jesus more than anything else in this world. Same with Esther Joy. Joseph, when you are 30 years old and going to get married, you have a Christian wedding that will aim to honor God. Just getting stressed. That's what this Bible means. You know? And when Sharon grows up 20 years from now, she says, Mommy, I want to serve Christ, I want to be a missionary. Something that because the Bible says, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son. It demonstrates the genuineness of Christianity in a person's life. And it demonstrates our loyalty to Christ. Thank God many of the teenagers and the children are continuing Christ. There was many years ago, one of a Christian workers spoke to me and he asked me this question, Johnny, 5 years from now, will you still be a Christian? I was 14 years old then. Oh, I took that challenge. 5 years from now, will you still be a Christian? Can I ask our children and teenagers, 5 years from now, would you still be faithfully serving God? In fact, growing, would you take over Sister Issa so that she can go to the mission field or something? Or whatever, take over the Sunday school or Sister Annalena. Would you be able to take over this Sunday school so that they can move on to other things that God would have meant to do? Huh? Joseph, would you be able to take over the Sambang tracking route so that Brother Robert can go to the mission fields? That's what it means. Loyalty to Christ. Children and young people, do we have a next generation that will say, I will stand strong for God? Not loving this world, but loving the things of Christ. Or the world has a lot of things to pull you away, but are you going to say, no, I would love that. I'll love Jesus more. Yeah, I still have to study. I still have to do my best. I still have to take care of my family. But you know what? Jesus comes first. We must continue in the truth. First, we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit among us. In verse 21, in verse 20, John says, 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One. If you have truly trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit remains in you. And how much He controls you will determine how much you will grow. Okay, that's the first one. But the second one is that we have to abide in Him. That was what I was mentioning in verse 24. if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In verse 26, is John's concern, and it's my concern too. There are many things of this world to seduce you, draw you away from the truth. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which ye have received from him, abideth in you, and ye have no need that any man teach you. But it's the same anointing the Holy Spirit teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. The anointing is the Holy Spirit where we have received, and if we would abide, the word abide means we stay closely to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If were there times that when you wanted to do something and something in your heart says, no, you shouldn't be doing that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling you to, maybe there were certain times that you were supposed to do certain things, but you don't feel like it. The Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to do it. And you were struggling. You know what? The way we are loyal to Christ is we listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He tells us to do. And the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the stronger you will be spiritually. And you need to be able to discern the voice. Because many times I can tell you, this world will tell you, don't serve God. I mean, what's the point? Don't waste your time. Why you get tired so easily? But those who came a bit earlier just now, I shared with you about the Navy SEALs. And you know what? This is so true. You know, Navy SEALs are taught, don't listen to your flesh. You know why? Because it is a matter of life and death when you are actually out there trying to kill a terrorist. And if you are tired and you cannot go on, you will die in the mission, and you will sabotage your bodies as well. Does it make sense? You know what? We need to abide in Christ. So as we close, do we pass the loyalty test? Do we love Christ more than this world? Would you choose Christ? If the world offers you something, if the world actually offers you something that will take you away from the Lord and His Word or His work, what would you do? You know, there are many people who will be willing to leave. But you know, one of the things that I'd like to encourage you to understand is nothing in this world is worth giving up Christ for. Nothing. If we can actually give up something for Christ, it means that thing is more important than Christ. Me and my wife had the privilege of speaking to even a long time ago, a couple. That something happened, and this one of the person in that relationship had to come to a place of actually saying, if that's how he wants to live, I'm happy to let that relationship go because Jesus is more important. You know, that person made that decision with tears in the person's eyes. But you know, that person put Christ first. That if that's the direction, no way. I want to follow Christ. And the person was willing to make that kind of decision. And I say this, after this lesson, God will put us to the test. God will put us to the loyalty test. Is Christ more important on this world? You know, one of the things is when you shift from a place, we must not leave what God has given us as part of the church. Is there a place that you can worship God in? And that's important. And finally, do we live in the truth? A clear indication of a Christian is the willingness to keep his life in the Bible, irregardless of the cost, irregardless of what the consequences are. We need, just like I shared with you, the unofficial youth leader who says, I'll still trust God, you know. And yes, I may not have a job, but, you know, that's not as important as following Jesus. Oh, that impressed my young 16-year-old heart. Say, that's the type of Christian. thank God for that Christian lady who had enough faith to trust God for that. Okay? So, do we love Christ more in this world? Are we still part of the local body? Do we continue to live in the truth? Okay, any questions as we close? Okay, hopefully you will take these thoughts. Remember, the goal is for our church to grow. And it could be that God is just putting tests in front of us. So that, say, Lord, at every time, Lord, I want to pass the test. If that's what it takes, Lord, I want to be a mature disciple. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and I'm sure that, Lord, you would have spoken to some people's heart. You've spoken to mine especially. And Lord, what you want are Christian disciples who will follow you above all, and to have wisdom to be able to make the decisions. Father, help us not to love the world, because your word clearly says, love not the world. Don't be conformed to the things of this world. Help us, Lord, not to do that. Help us to stay with the church that you build. And God, that as an assembly, Lord, we will be faithful to you. And that, God, we will not do anything that will lift up a tool on the altar. That, Father, every time we serve you, it will be simplicity and faith. It will be simplicity and truth. God, it will be sincerity in our hearts. That, God, we will not be into showmanship, because that's not what you want. You want a heart that will say, Lord, we don't deserve it, but you love us, and therefore we're going to worship you with the best of our abilities. Help us to abide in your truth, Lord, which will be indicators of our love for Christ. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Does anyone require prayer that says, Brother Johnny, pray that from this day forward I will remain as close to Christ as I possibly can, as His Holy Spirit will help me. There are many things I may need to surrender or change so that I can walk with Christ. Is there anyone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. Amen, I see that hand. Spread up and put it down and pray. Amen, I see those hands too. I want to be loyal to Christ. Spread up and put it down. If you're a child, just close your eyes and pray. Is there anyone else? Say, Brother Johnny, amen, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Just say that. Amen, I see that hand. I want to be a Christian 20 years from now, 30 years from now, serving God, being loyal to Him. Is there anyone else? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone that's put up their hand. You know, Lord, I just feel that, God, you have put a desire in our hearts to love you. But Father, sometimes the things of this world and sometimes even our own thinking, Lord, stops us, or rather hinders us from following you. We pray tonight you help us as we go home to meditate on this passage once again, that, Father, we might be loyal to you, because a disciple is loyal to the Master. And help us, Lord, as your people to be loyal to you. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray for grace and strength for everyone that's put up their hand. Only you, Father, can see their hearts. I ask you, Father, to help them surrender themselves, that, Father, they will move from none of God, all of self, to all of God, none of self. And Father, over the months and years, they will begin to move in their own Christian life. Thank you, Lord. We pray you bless the time that we're going to have to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.